Romans chapter 1 in your Scofield Bible, page 1192. Page 1192. We'll be reading the 16th and 17th verses, these two verses, and then we'll be turning to a passage from John after we read this portion from Romans. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. I'll read the 16th verse. You'll join me on the 17th. And then we'll turn to the book of John. Well, let's stand, please. All of us standing for the reading of God's precious word. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Turn now to the 13th chapter of John. John 13, page 1135. 1135. We'll begin with the 36th verse of the 13th chapter of John. We'll read through the 4th verse of the 14th chapter. So that's John 13:36 through John 14:4. These verses we'll also read responsively. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And verse 4 together, please. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And let's pray. Father, we pray so much that this morning that thou wouldst be glorified in everything that's said and done in this place. Tender our hearts toward thee, and bless with power our preacher in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm not sure that I know a more encouraging thought than the one I'm going to leave with you this morning. I have no profundity except that which is cloaked in simplicity, but I do not think I know a more encouraging thought than the one I'm going to leave with you. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I'm told in the Bible that every jot and every tittle is placed there on purpose. If that be true, certainly every phrase is placed there. And there are so many little phrases tucked away in the Bible we never examine. And one of them is this little phrase, from faith to faith. From faith to faith. Now, you've heard sermons on I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You've heard sermons on that gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You've heard sermons on to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You've heard sermons on therein is the righteousness of God revealed. You've heard sermons on the just shall live by faith. But this one little line in here, probably none of us has ever heard a sermon on it. You will this morning. I want to talk to you on those little words. From faith to faith. I believe that if you will listen, I believe that you'll be encouraged as much by a portion of Scripture as you've ever been encouraged in your life. Our Heavenly Father, do that for us this morning. That would strengthen our lives in order that we may strengthen the lives of others. Do thou in this hour thy purpose in our lives. And may we wait attentively to hear from thee. Amen. I love this little line. If you will follow me, so will you. From faith to faith. Now, normally, the interpretation of that is this. If you have faith, in that faith is a seed for more faith, and in that more faith, there is a seed for more faith, and the Christian lives from faith to faith. But that is not, in my opinion, what God is saying here. He just got through saying the righteousness of God is revealed from heaven. And then he says we're to live from faith to faith. Here's what it says. Listen to this carefully. Here's what it says. God's faith in me generates my faith in God. We live not from my faith to my faith, but we live from faith to faith, from God's faith to my faith. What it's saying here is this, and boy, I can hardly contain myself when I think about this. It's saying that God has faith in me. And that faith that God has in me generates my faith in God. It's not from faith to faith. It's from faith to faith to faith to faith to faith. God, let me put it just in simple language. God has confidence in you. Let me, without you turning to it, let me direct your thinking for a moment from this passage we read a while ago. Jesus is talking. Now listen, follow me now. Don't miss this. Jesus is talking to Simon Peter. And Peter said, Lord, where are you going to go? And Jesus said, you don't know where I'm going to go, but you can't go now, but you're coming later on. By the way, I'm coming later on too. He said to you can't go now. You got to stay here. But now, Peter didn't know what he meant. Peter didn't know that Jesus was talking about heaven. And Peter said, Lord, I'll go. I'll go wherever you go. I'll go. And he said, Lord, I would die for you. And Jesus said, die for me? Why, he said before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Now, wait a minute. Don't miss this. The chapters and verses in the Bible are so helpful to us. Helpful to us in finding passages and helpful to us in memorizing passages. But you'll understand that the chapters and verses were placed there for our convenience. So, chapter 14, this is going to be a great statement, follows chapter 13. Amen? That's preaching if you ever heard it, brother. Chapter 14 follows chapter 13. Now, listen, I'm gonna read it like all one story. It is all one story. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? You said you'll lay down your life for my sake. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. And the next verse, he's talking to Peter. He said, let not your heart be troubled. He said, Peter, you won't deny me three times. But when you do, don't let your heart be troubled. He said, you believe in God. He's not commanding Peter to believe in God necessarily. Well, he is. But he's saying, Peter, you believe in God. And you believe in me. And in my Father's house are many mansions. When I saw, I would have told you. I go prepare a place for you, Peter. And if I go, I'll come again, receive you unto myself. Where I am, there ye may be also. Now, Peter said, Lord, where are you going to go? And Jesus said, you can't go now, Peter. You don't know where I'm going to go, and you can't go now. You come later on. Peter said, I'll go wherever you go. I'll tell you, I've laid down my life for you. And Jesus said, you're not even going to confess me. He said, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. He said, Peter, he said, but, Peter, let not your heart be troubled. May I paraphrase that? And I love this with all of my soul. Jesus is saying, Peter, I know the worst in you. In a few hours, you'll deny me. You'll curse and swear and deny the faith. But Peter, you're going to come through it. I know you will. That's what he said. He said, Peter, you're going to make it. I've got confidence in you, Peter. Yeah, if you say you'd die for me, I know you wouldn't die for me right now. But Peter, he said, the day's going to come when you will. I know you will. And Peter, you're going to curse and swear and deny the faith. Before the cock crows, you'll do it three times. Or have done it three times. But he said, Peter, let not your heart be troubled. He said, but if you believe in God, you believe in me, in my Father's house. And imagine, if it were not so, I would have told you, Peter, I'm going to prepare a place for you. What he's saying is, Peter, I know the worst in you. I know your weaknesses. I know your frailties. I know what you're going to do. But Peter, you're going to come through it, buddy. You're going to make it. I know you will. Let me tell you this morning, Jesus has confidence in you. Oh, I love that. Jesus has confidence in you. And he sees what you could be. He sees what you can be. He sees what you will be. And blessed be God, he thinks you're going to make it. He has confidence in you. He says you live from faith to faith. He said first, I have confidence in you. And that is going to stir and generate you to have confidence in me. I realized this morning that God has confidence in me. Boy, that's a big statement, isn't it? And I want to trust Him more because He does. And I want to serve Him better because He does. And I want to love Him more because of it. You recall, He came to Gideon, and Gideon was the runt kid of the runt family, of the runt tribe, of the runt nation, of the whole world. And Gideon was so timid, he was hiding behind the wine press to thresh his wheat. And God came and said, all hail, thou mighty man of valor. And the first three words Gideon said were, oh, my Lord. And here's this little runt of an introvert. And God walks up and said, the angel of God walks up and says, all hail, thou mighty man of valor. You see, man saw a little quiet runt. But God saw a great general. And God said, Gideon, I've got confidence in you. And you are a mighty man of valor. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall I do, because I go to my Father. God comes this morning and says to you, you may be having it tough, but I've got confidence in it. You're going to make it. God comes this morning and says, I've got faith in you. Now, let that faith in you cause you to have faith in me. You're going to make it. What a truth. Let me tell you something, folks. Hear me carefully now. Many a child does nothing because he's been told by his mom and his parents that he can never do anything right. Many, many a child has been a failure because he's never heard anything from his mom and dad except you can never do anything right. I want to stand up this morning and testify for a few minutes. I want to thank God this morning for my mother and for Proctor Boyd, my Sunday school teacher when I was a young man. If we had a vote in Hillcrest Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas concerning the guy that would have made it least and last, I would have won hands down. If we'd had a vote in our youth department, the guy that would have pastored a church someday, I'd have been the last one in the vote. My little mama kept saying, you can do it, son. I believe you've got it. And Proctor Boyd, my dear Sunday school teacher, said to me, son, he said, Jack, you can do it. I know you come from a broken home, and I know you're a little bitty fella at the age of 17, weighed 92 pounds, but he said, you can do it. He believed in me, and my mama believed in me, and because they believed in me, for the grace of God today, I stand behind this pulpit preaching to you. From faith to faith. God said, Peter, I've got faith in you. Peter said, then God, I've got faith in you. And God's faith in Peter, and God's confidence in Peter, created and generated Peter's confidence in God. Life did not come easy for our youngest daughter, Cindy. She was the baby girl. and she was spoiled somewhat by all of us. And only that, being the runt child, Cindy was not as able as others, and because of that, she developed a little bit of a maybe inferiority complex. Becky was an accomplished pianist, and Linda became an accomplished pianist, and Cindy couldn't hit the black ones instead of the white ones, or the white ones instead of the black ones. Besides that, she was left-handed. Nothing wrong with being left-handed. I don't care what hand you use to drop your offering in the plate. It doesn't bother me at all. But somehow it just didn't come. And somehow Cindy would lose stuff. I hate to say this about a married woman who's got two kids, but she'd lose stuff. But I always thought she'd make it. Now she's a lovely mother and wife. Still loses stuff, but she's another mother and wife. And you'll let me enter into a little white sanctuary and tell you something I probably shouldn't tell you. But Cindy often writes her daddy notes, and she wrote me a note about a year ago, and she said, "Daddy," she said, "there's one thing I want to thank you for today." She said, "You always felt like I could do it. You always felt like I could do it." And she said, "Daddy, that's what made me feel like I could do it. From faith to faith, my faith in her generated her faith." And God comes this morning. God says to you, "You having a hard time having faith?" And God said, "I'm not having a tough time having faith in you." He says, "I've got confidence in you." There sits over here on the platform a fellow named Roy Moffitt. I told Roy one night in my study, "Roy ought to go to college." He said, "Preacher, I never could pass in college." Sure enough, he was right. But I probably shouldn't say this either. But Roy Moffitt did not have the confidence of some of the other fellows on the platform. Some of these guys got too much in it anyway. But he didn't have it. He didn't have it. But I saw it in him. I saw it in him. Now I've had to chisel on him some, but I saw it in him, and I said, "Roy, you can go to college and you can pass and you can graduate." He said, "Preacher, it's never been easy for me. I just don't have the brain to do it." But I said, "You do too. I believe you can." And my faith in him generated his faith in himself and in me. And from faith to faith. Now, Roy is not one of these folks who's a servant of God. Dr. Evans, for example, you can look at that guy and know that God, he's one of God's men, because you'd know he couldn't do an honest day's work. But Roy could have made a living honestly. Only person on this platform that could. I mean, he's not the suave PhD like Wendell Evans. I was trying to think somebody else is suave up here. He's a layman preacher. That's what he is. If you let me say this, And I'm probably taking far too much credit for it. I like what Sam Jones said one time. The press said to Sam Jones, "You're not so hot." Said, "The press made you." Sam Jones said, "Then make another one." If I made Roy Moffitt, I'd like to make a dozen of them. I didn't make him, but I believe there was a time in Roy Moffitt's life when he'd never made it in the Lord's work if I hadn't believed in him. And let me tell you something this morning. You said, "Nobody thinks I can do it." He thinks you can do it. Yes, he does. He has confidence in you. He says this morning to you, if you're away from God, he says, "I believe you're going to come out of it. I believe you're going to make it. I believe you're going to, I've got confidence in you. I got faith in you." Then he said, "Let my faith in you generate your faith in me." He said, "You're going to do it. You're going to make it." I say again, many a child does nothing and will never do a thing because he's been told by his parents he can never do anything right. These men, may I say this? And I think you'll agree to this. I probably only have one real talent. Probably only one real talent. But I believe God gave it to me. And I believe that God gave me the talent to spot men who can do it. And to help the grace of God to develop as best I can help those men to their fullest. I believe the finest staff of men in the world today are the staff members of First Baptist Church at Hammond, Indiana. Somebody says, how did you find an Elmer Fernandez? Where did you find a Larry Bullard? Or a John Colston? Or a Ray Young? I'll tell you what I did. I just hired him and said to Elmer, he's not here, he's in the that's right. I said to Elmer, I believe you can do it. I believe you can do it. I just hired Larry Bullard and said, Larry, I believe you can do it. And Larry said, he believes I can do it. I don't believe I can do it, but he believes I can do it. And if he believes I can do it, and I don't believe I can do it, he's dead sure smarter than I am, so I believe I can do it too. From faith to faith. From his faith to my faith. From God's faith to man's faith. And the just shall live from faith to faith. God has confidence in you this morning. He believes you can do it. He believes you're going to make it. He believes you're going to pull through. It may be this morning the clouds are mighty low, but God says you're going to make it through those clouds. I believe you are. It may be this morning you've gone to the bottom, but God says you're going to get to the top again. I believe you can make it. God says, no talking, boys. No talking, boys. I'm preaching. No talking. I want you to listen. You need what I'm saying too, and I expect you to get it. God says, and you need it too, by the way. God said, I believe in you. Brother, when my mama used to say, son, you can do it. This is an awful illustration. I shouldn't even use it, but it's illustrative. When I was about 5 years old, I got an awful habit. I picked my nose. About got it cured now. Almost. I picked mine. If I had, obviously, you didn't pick yours. You wouldn't have picked the one you got on your face there. Here I go picking it. You know how Mama cured me? You know how she cured me? The way she cured me from everything else. She would get a friend and bring the friend over and get in a room and I'd be in the next room. And my mama talked to that friend. And here's what she'd say. I can remember this. We lived on Oak Cliff Boulevard in Dallas, Texas, in a little apartment house. And I was picking my nose. And one day I was in another room just picking away. And my mama got this friend, and I didn't know she knew I was listening. And my mama said to this friend, they planned this, I didn't know it. Mama said, well, I got a good boy. And I said, that's me. Mama said, Jack is the best boy. And her friend said, he is a mighty good boy. I know you're proud of him. Oh, I'm so proud of Jack. Jack is such a good boy. I know some little boys that hit their sisters, but Jack never would. And I thought, I wouldn't. Mama said, some little boys don't obey, but Jack always does. And then she said, I even know some little boys will pick their nose. But that's one, I know one thing, my boy would never do that. And I want to tell you something, folks. she cured me. You know why? Because my mama had confidence in me. And I would rather die than shatter that confidence. And my Savior has confidence in me. He thinks I'll make it. He has faith in me. He has faith in you. Last little bus kid that got on the bus this morning with feet shod with shoes that would have been covered your feet better, had your feet covered better if you hadn't had them on. He has confidence in you. He thinks you're going to make it. He thinks you're going to make it. He said to Peter, Peter, I've got to go away. And Peter said, where are you going? And Jesus said, you don't know where I'm going to go. You can't go now, but you'll come later. And he said, Lord, I will go too. Yes, I will. I'll go too, and I'll die for you. He said, you won't die for me. You won't even, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. But he said, don't let your heart be troubled. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Jesus looked out through the telescope of deity. Jesus saw Peter standing on Pentecost. He sees you, and he says, you're going to make it. He looks down in the future and says, you're going to make it. I believe you will. He sees Peter, as they say finally one day, they say, Peter, you deny Jesus, or you will crucify you. Peter said, I'm not going to deny him. Go ahead and crucify me. That's the Peter that Jesus saw. That's the one. When he said, you're going to make it, you're going to make it. That's what he saw. He saw beyond the cursing and beyond the thrice denying. And he said, you'll make it. And then Peter says, don't crucify me on a cross, standing upright. He said, turn it upside down. My Savior was crucified on a cross that was upright. I don't deserve to die like he did. Turn it upside down. We don't talk much about this, but the same type of nails that ripped the hands of our lovely Lord ripped the hands of the Apostle Peter too. And Peter was crucified upside down. And I got a sneaking suspicion when he got to heaven that day. He went up to Jesus and said, Jesus, thank you that you trusted me. I remember that day when I denied you, and I thought I wouldn't. I thought I'd die for you, but you had confidence in me, and you trusted me. And Jesus, I wouldn't have had faith to serve you. You hadn't had faith first in me. The just shall live from faith to faith. Not faith to faith, faith to faith. Faith to faith. He has confidence in me. There's power in believing that you think I can. And there's power in your believing that I think you can. He comes and kneels with a sinner this morning, the unsaved one. And he says, I believe you can make it. He comes and sits and kneels beside the backslider this morning, and he puts his arm around your shoulder and he pats you on the back and says, I know you're away from me, but I've got confidence in you. I think you're going to make it. He comes this morning, the one who's bitter with life and disillusioned with life, puts his hand on your shoulder and says, I know you're going through some tough times now, and I know right now maybe you're tempted to do something you ought not to do, but I've got confidence in you. I think you're going to make it. Ladies and gentlemen, my God has confidence in you. You can dead sure put your confidence. I'm going to pull out from the pages of Sweet Memories this morning a story that's often been used by this preacher from this pulpit. And I must tell it again in order to get down to a part I've never told before. It's worth your hearing again. It's worth my telling again. But I tell it not, in fact, I don't want to tell it because you've heard it often, but there's one little part at the end I've never told you before, and I want to get to it, so listen carefully. Her name was Sharon Stromberg. One of our girls in the church here. Often she'd been to our house because she and Cindy were good friends. I knew her as well as I knew any of our girls in the church, apart from our own kids. Sharon Stromberg and some young folks were driving from Hammond Baptist High School several years ago. It was a rainy day. The car swerved on the wet pavement and hit another car. One of the young men was killed immediately. And Sharon Stromberg was placed into a coma. I never saw anybody like Sharon. I went out to Dyer Mercy Hospital. It's been years ago at Dyer Mercy Hospital. I went up to the room in intensive care, and in that little private room there was little Sharon. I wouldn't have recognized her. They had to shave her head. She was in a coma. I talked to the doctor, and I said, "Doctor, how's Sharon Stromberg?" He said, "She won't make it." He said, "We're not even going to set any bones." And he said, "There are many of those cuts. We're not even going to sew them up because she's dying right now. She's not going to make it." He said, "It's just a matter of minutes. She's almost dead now." I said, "Doctor, would you leave me with her, please?" He said, "Gladly." I closed the door. Sharon was lying there. Head was shaved. Looked like she was been through a meat grinder. Not a response at all. In a coma. And I walked up to Sharon. I put my mouth against her ear. And I said, "Now, Sharon, this is Brother Hiles. I want to tell you something, Sharon, what the doctor just told me. I don't know whether you can hear me or not, but if you can hear me, Sharon, I want you to listen. The doctor said you're not going to make it. But I'm saying, Sharon, you can. You can, Sharon. You can make it. The doctor said you've got a few minutes, but I say you've got some more time. And you can make it, Sharon. You can, Sharon. You can. You can, Sharon. You can. You can, Sharon. You can." And I said, "Sharon, I want you alive when I get back here tomorrow. I'm coming back tomorrow. I want you alive when I get back." I went back the next day to Dyer Mercy Hospital. Sharon was still in a coma. She hadn't moved a muscle. I said, "Doc, how's Sharon?" He said, "She's dying. No need to try to do anything for her. She can't live." And I said, "Could I be alone with her?" He said, "You may." I closed the door to that little room in intensive care, and I put my mouth right next to Sharon's ear, and I said, "Sharon, doctor just told me you're still dying, but I said, Sharon, you and I know better. I said, you can, Sharon. You don't have to die. You can live. You can, Sharon. You can. You can, Sharon. You can. You can, Sharon. You can. You can, Sharon. You can." It was weeks that Sharon was in a coma. Never responded to anybody. And every day that I was in town, I went to Dyer Hospital, went to that little room, put my mouth beside Sharon's ear, and I said, "You can, Sharon." I didn't know if she hurt me or not, but I said, "You can, Sharon. You can. You can, Sharon. You can." Week after week after week after week. Shall any of us ever forget the day that Sharon came back to church the first time? Wall was right here then. I was standing out here preaching. Invitation time came. No, offering time came. Sharon was sitting back there first time she was in church, electrifying to see her. Usher came down to take the offering. He handed me a little card or a little note folded like that. I opened the card and it was from Sharon. And all it said was, "Dear Brother Hiles, I did. I did." Jesus comes this morning and says, "You can." "But you say I'm dying spiritually." But He says, "You can." "But you say I've gone so far from God." He says, "You can." "But you say you don't understand it. I've gone to the depth." He says, "You can." He has confidence in you. He says, "You can." A spiritual coma, He comes and puts His mouth beside your ear that's dead and says, "You can do it." But here's what I told the story for. I couldn't tell you how Sharon loved me after that. Hardly a week passed, I didn't get a note from Sharon. Here's what she'd say: "Dear Brother Hiles, you're the greatest preacher in the whole world." She never told me anything I didn't already know, but she told me. "Dear Brother Hiles, I've never loved you like I love you now. Dear Brother Hiles, I've never trusted you like I trust you now. Dear Brother Hiles, you're one of the best friends a girl ever had. Dear Brother Hiles, thank God you're my pastor." I never got any notes like that before. What happened? My faith generated her faith. And my faith in her ability to live generated her faith in my ability to be her preacher. I come this morning and tell you, the just shall live by faith. But the righteousness of God is revealed like this, from faith to faith. He believes you'll make it. He has confidence in you. And that's what's going to make you make it. Because His faith in you is going to generate your faith in Him. He trusts you. He has faith in you. He has confidence in you. And he comes this morning and says, you can. Our Heavenly Father,